Hi, you're listening to the Bold Europe podcast series on elections in 2025. My name is John Lanfranco and I'm the head of communications and outreach at the EU office of the Heinrich Böll Stiftung, the German Green Political Foundation. Check out our work on our website, eu.böll.org, and on the show notes. And subscribe to our channel to receive notifications of new episodes. Today, we focus on Germany. Snap federal elections took place in Germany on 23rd February, in a time of overlapping crises and significant geopolitical shifts. Trump 2.0, Russia's threat, and the unrelenting climate crisis. What will the new political constellation mean for European unity, for the EU's decarbonization, for competitiveness, and for the EU's role in the world? I unpack these questions with Dietrich Herrmann. Dietrich is head of the Government Administration and Political Parties Division at the Heinrich Böll Stiftung's headquarters in Berlin. He holds a PhD in modern history, and before joining the foundation, he worked at the Alliance 90 The Greens parliamentary group in the Saxon State Parliament and also at the Citizen Participation Department of the Saxon State Ministry of Justice and for Democracy, Europe and Equality. Hello, Dietrich. It's great to have you with us today. Thanks for joining our podcast.
Hello. Good to be with you.
What are your main takeaways from the election results? What happened in Germany?
Well, actually, one very important thing was the turnout increased strongly. So we had 82.5% of the electorate actually coming to the polls, which is more than 6% more than in 2021, when we had the last election. Then the governing coalition until last November, the so-called traffic light coalition of Social Democrats, Free Democrats and Greens, lost almost 20% altogether, with the Social Democrats losing 9.3%, the Free Democrats losing more than 7%, thus losing all their seats because they didn't pass the 5% threshold. And compared to those two parties, the Greens actually remained relatively stable in terms that they lost just 3.1%, coming out at 11.6%. But obviously, this coalition did not have a majority anymore. And now the conservative CDU-CSU party won more than 4%, but still remained below 30%, which actually its leader, Friedrich Merz, had called for. They wanted to pass, get way beyond 30%. Still, they did not reach as much as Angela Merkel with that party reached, even in the worst of her four election results. But still, the conservatives are the strongest party now, but of course they need a partner to build a coalition. And when we look at the numbers, just the numbers, it appears that it's pretty clear that we will get a coalition between the conservatives and the Social Democrats. And those two parties had actually been governing together 12 of the last 19 years. So I say it appears that we'll get this coalition because there are also forces who push for an agreement, maybe not a coalition, but for an agreement between conservatives and the extremist AfD. I should have mentioned that they got more than 20%, actually doubling their result from 3.5 years ago.
So basically, we will get another große Koalition, or in the words of Robert Habeck, a kleine Koalition, because as you said, the CDU-CSU plus SPD, they are barely a few seats for majority. So it's not what it used to be, the große Koalition in Germany. That also changed, no?
No. No, obviously not. They barely managed to get a majority of the seats. And actually, had it not been that the Free Democrats and the pro-Putin Wagenknecht alliance, if they had not missed the 5% threshold, then the two parties, the conservatives and the social democrats, would have missed a majority. So now, since these two parties got less than 5%, they're out, and a number of other very small parties are also out. So they have a little more than 50%, but they're way, way from a two-thirds majority, which is, of course, a big problem in terms of governing when you want to elect judges for the Federal Constitutional Court, or if you want to make a change to the Constitution. And there are a number of cases where you actually need a two-thirds majority. And this is very hard to get now. Even with the Green Party, these two don't have a two-thirds majority, so they will have to ask the Left Party. The Left Party, this is perhaps the most astonishing result. Many people believed that the Left Party would miss the 5% threshold, but they actually made it and got almost 9%. They probably gained many votes from people who had voted for Social Democrats and Greens before, because these two parties declined to exclude a coalition with Friedrich Merz. I have to explain here that in late January, Friedrich Merz made a move to very authoritatively govern. In the first day he would come to power, he would tell the Interior Ministry to shut down the borders of Germany, keeping out illegal immigrants. And many people on the left side of the political spectrum were afraid of Merz getting together with the right-wing extremists. So they were glad that the Left Party actually offered them a chance to vote for a party which excluded cooperation with Merz. And neither the Greens nor the Social Democrats make this exclusion. And especially young people voted strongly for the Left Party this time. So this was, in a way, a surprise, which many people didn't think could have happened like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
It's interesting that you mentioned migration among other topics. So what would you say are were the main priorities for the electorate, but also shifting priorities in relation to the last election in 2021?
Well, migration was not a top priority. When you ask people what they care most about, it is about the economy, about security, internal security, but also external security, and also climate change, even though climate change not anymore as top priority. But migration was definitely not the top priority in the opinion polls. But in the public debates, and especially in these TV debates among the leading candidates, migration was the main topic. Like a third or a fourth of the total time was spent of debating migration. And the public broadcasting systems have gotten strong criticism for that. They did not, for example, talk about climate protection as they should have.
That's interesting what you mentioned in terms of electorate priorities versus what actually was discussed at debates. What was the prominence of climate topics and the environment? Because we see that it fares quite high among Green voters, but not in the other voters. So is this something that shifted dramatically since the last election?
It shifted strongly, but still, when you ask people, the very, very great majority of the people think that politics should do more for climate protection, definitely. But when you ask about priorities, then it's kind of difficult to tell. Then people might say, well, it's more important to push the economy or to make sure that Germany is secure or to keep prices down and so on.
So one in five voters went for the AfD this time. In a way, it follows what happened in many other countries. We've been following elections, European elections, but also national elections, Austria, and before that, Italy. So what does it mean exactly in this one out of five, and actually 20% of the votes, 150-something MPs in the new Bundestag? How will it change political life in Germany in the next 4 years?
It's hard to tell, of course. It's new to Germany. And while we have seen similar developments in other countries, there may happen the same way or similar ways. But of course, it's not. Germany is free and independent of those developments in other countries. It's not definite that it will happen the same way. But what I expect is that these two parties that are now starting to have talks, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats, they will form a coalition. At least they start to. I'm not sure whether this will hold all 4 years. What we can already witness is, we can already see that from the very right side of the conservatives, there's a constant pressure on the Social Democrats that the conservatives will do it their way. And this is very difficult to tell how far they will go. It's very difficult how far the Social Democrats will go along. It could actually happen that this pressure coming from the right, always with the AfD being further right and putting their own pressure again, also on the conservatives, it is difficult to tell whether the Social Democrats will go along with all that. I do not expect any trouble in the near future, but we don't know what will happen. And there might be events from outside of Germany that put extra pressure. And then, of course, we need to look at the regional level. I do not expect to have an alliance with the AfD first on the federal level, but we will have to look at Saxony-Anhalt and Mecklenburg-Western Pomerania, who will have elections, regional elections in next year. But also, we will also have to look to Saxony. So it could happen that there will be a closer cooperation between conservatives and the AfD on the regional level. And then this would also put more pressure on the parties on the national level. One thing I should add, of course, is that on the local level, we have a already strong cooperation between Christian Democrats or conservatives, I should say, and AfD people in the city councils and regional councils, especially in East Germany. We've had local elections last year, and since then, there's a constant cooperation between these two parties going on. It's not the case everywhere, but there is a culture of cooperation growing. And of course, also a culture of growing, well, enemy feelings, I should say, towards the political left or the former political center.
So if there's a rupture of the cordon sanitaire, we would see it first we see it already, as you say, at the local level.
Yes.
And then at the regional level, but definitely not at the federal level. Even there's no possibility.
It's at least I do not expect it. I cannot rule it out. But I do not expect it to be first. One thing is, of course, very would be difficult. That would be foreign policy. Since the AfD is still strongly allied to Putin, many people from the conservatives still rule out getting together in a coalition government. I do not see a coalition government on the federal level till the next election, just because of this foreign policy issues. But does not mean that there would again be common voting like on migration issues. It could imagine a situation where Social Democrats and current conservatives do not reach an agreement what to do about migration. And then the conservatives will put more pressure and at the end say, well, if you do not go along what we want, we will have a common voting with the AfD.
Which has happened at the European Parliament, for instance, in a very similar fashion.
Yes, exactly. This could happen. I do not see it in the near future, and very much depends upon the more moderate people in the Conservative Party. They have been very quiet in the last few weeks. I do not see them being very loud, but it remains to be seen whether they still are a factor. Many moderates have left the Bundestag. They have resigned or have declined to be a candidate again. And it remains to be seen whether they all remain loyal to Merz or whether they form kind of a minority within the Conservative Party. I should mention that I'm now talking about Conservative Party. You well know that the party name is Christlich Demokratische Union or Christliche Soziale Union. But one thing that has changed within the last few weeks or months, I should say, that is the relation to the Christian churches. And on one side, and the party has deteriorated strongly. There have always been disagreements on a factual level, but now the atmosphere has deteriorated strongly. And this is completely new. This is really completely new. There have been petitions among members of both churches telling that, well, the CDU is not any longer a Christian party. We have never had anything like that. So there's a question whether this could deteriorate more. Then one thing remains to be seen also is what's the relation to the European Union. The conservatives, we talked about Helmut Kohl, but also Adenauer, has always been a pro-European party. Even from the left may have been very many disagreements, but in general, we could be sure that the CDU-CSU was pro-European. Now, with a move to decide to close the borders, we don't really know whether they will stick to that. Another problem seems to be that the CDU-CSU is not anymore Rechtsstaatspartei in the sense that they accept what law and order is, but the one thing a prominent CDU person recently said, well, if the courts decide against our decision to close the borders, which obviously on the European level they would, this one person was cited as saying, well, these Scheißgerichte, these shit courts. So there is a part of the conservatives in the Christian Democratic Party that has strong feelings about courts and the court system in Germany. I don't know what will happen there. In the past, there have always been individual politicians saying strong words about perhaps the courts, about Europe, or about foreigners. But in those cases, the party secretary general would always call these people back and say, well, this is just an individual opinion, and the opinion of the party is different. We stay loyal to the European Union and so on. But this has not been the case. So these people would continue with their opinions.
And when it comes to the voting demographics, like we've seen in other elections a bit all over the world, that there's a gender divide, particularly in the young vote. We've seen that young male are turning more to the right, whereas young female are turning more to the left. I just wanted to see whether this was the case also in Germany and whether, if it was, how it was translated into the voting behavior.
Young people, young women in cities, we had 20% of Greens and only 9% would vote for the Conservatives and 10% for the AfD, very strongly in this case of the left party. Now looking at old men on the countryside, 41% would vote for the Conservatives and 19% for the AfD and only 7% for the Greens. So there's a strong difference between both male and female, particularly among the younger ones. But there's also a very strong difference between younger ones and older ones. And we have also differences between cities and countryside.
That's interesting. In the last election, it was the Greens and the Liberals who received most of the younger vote. And that seems to have shifted a bit to AfD and a bit to Linke as well.
Yes. And that my take on that shift would be that young people expect parties to be clear to their ideals. While it is hard to stick to your ideals when cooperating in a coalition government. And that would have hurt both the FDP and the Greens. And with the Greens not excluding a coalition with the Conservatives, young people said, no, I'm not going to vote for the Greens. I'm going to vote left.
I see. And just to finish, where do you see the Greens now? What's for them in the next 4 years, besides rebuilding and trying to regain electorate, as some statements from elected politicians said?
Well, one thing we haven't talked about yet is a very great change. Just since November, more than 40,000 people actually entered the Green Party, became members of the Green Party, which is now more than one-fourth of the whole membership. And we look at the last few years, more than half of the membership of the Greens entered the party in the last 6-7 years, which is the era when Robert Habeck and Annalena Baerbock became chairpersons of the party. So this may turn out to be important in two ways. We have to develop a new ways of will formation within the party, but also with the civil society that is related to the parliament, to the party, I'm sorry. And we'll see whether this stronger membership and new members will be ready to reach out to other groups in society. This remains to be seen, and I think this is the main challenge: to get out of these parts of the city where most Greens live, get out in the countryside, talk to neighbors, talk to people who are perhaps live in a different quarter and have different levels of education. And this remains to be seen whether this could be successful.
Great. Then we shall see what's next for the German Greens. Dietrich, thank you very much for your time and your insight. It's been very, very, very insightful for me, and I'm sure it will be for our audience. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was nice to talk to you.
You've listened to the Bell Europe podcast on the results of the snap federal election in Germany. You can find more analysis on the aftermath of the German elections on the show notes and also on our website eu.bell.org. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends and colleagues. Until the next episode, goodbye!